And our last speaker for this presentation is Bruce Moltzen. He's a state forest pathologist for the Missouri Department of Conservation. And Dr. Moltzen currently serves as the National Program Leader for Forest Pathology within the Forest Health and Protection Program with USDA Forest Service's National Headquarters out of Washington, D.C. And he's going to discuss the National Pre-Removal Mowing Framework today.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, let's see if I got this on here. Yeah. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Okay. My name is Bruce Moltzen, and I started out working in Missouri in the Department of Conservation, and I've ended up with the Forest Service. And we've heard a lot of talks here this morning about some stuff that's been going on, and it's been raising a lot of questions as to what are we going to do about it. And, you know, that's the million-dollar question. Why don't you just fix this? And I think that it gets complicated, and I'm, you know, what I hope to present to you today is at least maybe a start to rally the troops. And so in a place far, far away, long, long ago, there were a group of ragtag folks that came out here from the east. And at that time, I was out here on behalf of the state forester for Missouri. And we got to go and see all the stuff that you guys got to see yesterday. And what did I do here? And so this group of people, and you might recognize some of them are in the room today, and these famous hands, kind of like, you know, the Seinfeld episode with, we argue between Steve and I as to whose hands they are, but they've showed up in quite a few interesting places. But we have learned a lot about this disease, and people have been doing a lot of things. We saw a lot yesterday, and we've heard a lot today, and that's good work and it's ongoing. How do you incorporate it and roll it all up into something that's going to be meaningful to somebody? And so I prefer Susan's approach. When we first were out here, she was really ready to take on this subnotcath. And Susan has done a lot of work, as you know. But I think the axe method is still probably a recommended means of getting rid of the problem. But then yesterday when we were here at Norstuck, we saw all these little booties that we were wearing, but I'm recommending that maybe we should, you know, put something like this on before we go into the site to prevent anything from coming out. But so my experience with sudden oak death has been to watch it for the 10 years. And when we look at things, they tend to start off really big. And at one point, this thing took off financially, at least in a really high fashion, and reached this peak, and now it's starting this process of going down, and we've heard about cuts, and we've heard about all these things that could affect programs that are in existence. So I thought I'd just throw some numbers up here for the various agencies, the states, the Forest Service, APHIS, ARS, and NIFA, which is C.S. Reese, if you're following along. But the thing I want you to take home is $88.3 million has been spent on this fungus. That's a lot of money. And the question I always get is, so what'd you get for $88.3 million? And so it's very important that we have tools available to sort of put that out there as to why we think it's important, why we do things. Forest Health Protection is a unit in the Forest Service, and these are just some programs that are ongoing that we found out about in our meeting in Denver. But if you look here, it's about $500,000 just in the upcoming year. Now, is that going to stay there forever? I can't predict, because in Washington, it's a very interesting place. Money is made right across the street from the Forest Service, but I don't have any control to go over there and say, could you make more? And how it gets divided up and issued is a very important thing. But I want you to take home that Forest Health Protection is in the business of detection, management, monitoring, outreach, you know, cooperative extension. So that is really the role that we play. And Steve pointed it out earlier. Beyond that, we are really the suggested branch of the USDA, in that we can suggest, but if people are going to listen to us and follow through, you know, we're one voice. And so we seek to try to do things collaboratively. And you've seen a lot of evidence yesterday of that in the Norstedt, but you've seen a lot of evidence that we are collaborating along many lines. But we're concerned about these pathways, forest health protection. You know, I think you've seen now that, you know, that it's not just a wish or a thought this could happen, worst case scenario. So as Steve pointed out, there are these plausible pathways that may allow this fungus to get into other places that it currently doesn't exist under similar climatic conditions. And we're especially concerned about the eastern woody plants that are susceptible, known to be susceptible. So the question Everett posted with why are we doing this, we are under some principal laws that govern our activities. We're supposed to do it. We're supposed to get out there and monitor. And we're supposed to take a good look and see how far is it spreading, is it showing up. I think one thing about the stream bait survey is it's shown us where Phytophthora morum is not. And so it's that argues to its value, and we want to see how can we sustain these things over time. Well, I'm going to talk to you a little bit today about this framework and what is its purpose. There are all kinds of frameworks, plans, and policies out there, and they're alive for a couple of seconds, and then they go away and they start collecting dust in our office. But we've been charged in our office, we're working on three initiatives to update our material because it has become somewhat dated. And with all this new information that we're getting, this is the nice thing about Sudden Oak Desert. Turn a page, it's a new host, turn a page, something's going on over there in the UK that should get our attention. So we have to be adaptable to these changes, but these plans by and large follow the same plan. There's the same similar outline. So what our frameworks are going to do, we have three of them that we're undertaking, Sudden Oak Death being one, but we're also working on one for 1,000 cankers disease and emerald ash borer. So these processes are multiple, and they share similarities, but they're very different, or so we think. And the primary intended audience for these frameworks are state foresters, state agriculture, congressional staffers, and land managers. Because what can happen over time is people either leave the job or get out or appoint, a newly appointed person comes in, they are overwhelmed with things, people coming to them and saying, well, you've got this in your backyard, what do you do? So we really want this framework to address that. So it can't be a huge complicated document. In fact, this one is only about, you know, 6 or 7 pages long. So that, as Steve pointed out, we know a lot about what it can't do, but these are the things that we want to intend it to do, and that we want its utility to be highlighted by the fact that we have some engaged partnerships here. And principally, the National Association of State Foresters, the National Plant Board, Forest Service, and APHIS working together for some common framework. And the word framework troubles people a lot because what does it really mean? It's a plan to a plan. It's a roadmap. It's not prescriptive. It's not going to really get down to solving all the problems that exist out there, but it's something that we can use. So a tiered response from local to regional, state level to the federal response is something that we want to give somebody like a new state forester so that they can figure out, okay, I've got sudden oak death for the first time in my forest. What do I do? And we want it to be a unified effort. A lot of times these things are spinning off in different directions and we don't seem to get a lot of cohesion, and we oftentimes bump into each other's heads and knock heads about things that aren't getting done, lapses and tardiness and all that sort of thing. And so it's a messy business. But we need to be ready to act, because I think we've demonstrated that the potential exists for outside of just California, Oregon, and Washington. So the objectives of our framework in Denver were to check up on what is there that's available for sudden oak death management. And that's why I'm at this meeting, and I thank CompTIA for inviting me, because I constantly keep adding to a list that I think makes some sense. We put these folks that were at this meeting through a decision matrix. How would you go about prioritizing what you need to do? And I think Alan did a good job of showing what they're up against in terms of shrinking budgets. We tried to build ourselves a manager's a toolbox. And then we did really talk about scenarios. So what does a water fine mean? What should it precipitate? What should it trigger? talked about veg finds. What do they mean? And a worst case scenario, what does a tree find actually mean? So then we finalized our outline for the iteration that we're currently on, which is number 4. I hope to have number 5 out to the group fairly soon. So just conceptually to think about it, we put this put these guys through this to sort of think about how these sequence of events have unfolded with sudden oak death. And you can see that there's a lot of things to think about. And you could be, we could be at many different places on this map. Wherever you find yourself, continue to do what you're doing, because it's important when you take it together as a whole, like you're working a Rubik's Cube. When you finally get it solved, then I think we can say we've made some progress. So we talked about these management tools, backed against the idea that there are practices that we can do. We've seen cultural practices, eradication, containment. I don't care what you call it. It's a reduction, right? I like either word. Extreme containment was one that I think we discussed, right? Who cares? What we're trying to do is minimize the amount of this stuff getting out into the environment. Some of the talks on what can we use for chemicals, that's been coming along, but it's maybe not where it needs to be. And then there's even some talk about doing some resistance work. So the extent of our response, we talked about these go or no-go situations. A stream find should trigger a source search, and I think that's at the bare minimum. And that should be followed by a vegetation survey. And that should be done in answer to your question about what should we do. Yes, I think we need to go look for the source, and if we find it early enough, it's always the case, we say, then let's do something about it. But the stem canker will trigger the holy S moment in the East if we do find it. And my case in point is in New York, they did sample that tree to death, didn't they? So again, another example of eradication. So it's roles and responsibilities, and it's an onion, and it smells bad. And when you start to trust, you end up dealing with personalities, and when you start to deal with 50 states, they all have personalities. There's 50 SPROs, there's 50 SPUDs. The Forest Service has about 250 health professionals in just forest health protection alone, but research and development's out there. APHIS has all of its myriad of research and outreach and things like that. So when you try to get this all wrapped into this onion, who does what? And I think what I learned from our Denver meeting was that states are in the driver's seat. They have the responsibility to decide what they want to do, go or no go. And if they choose not to, then things can happen. Like in West Virginia, they chose not to do anything about Emerald Ash Borer. Well, the consequence of doing that was that the whole state then would be quarantined for Emerald Ash Borer. So, this is not an easy thing to figure out. So we're trying through this framework to put these things in the documents so that people that are in these positions can at least see how the communication should flow between one another. Do SPROs really talk to state foresters? Do state foresters really talk to their forest health staff, and do this forest health staff? It's a really interesting web. So the challenge is without deviation from the norm, progress is not possible, and that's something that Frank Zappa put out there for us. But we need better communication. So I really see this document being at least to start in that direction. It's been pointed out that the state foresters and the National Plant Board don't really do anything other than when the National Plant Board is hosting something in their state, am I right, Mark? That only that state forester is represented at their meeting. So we need to figure out ways to get these people talking, because they are very important in a national effort. We need to always make the case. And so wherever you are, and whoever you're talking to, and I know you do this, I'm preaching to the choir here, but you need to talk about success stories. And Steve pointed out the word due diligence. We're left to do the diligence. And until we can say that this isn't going to be a problem, we're going to have to be the ones that go out there and continue to do this. So what are the best managements? Well, slash, cut, burn, hack, squirt, 300 feet, that may work in Oregon, but does it work in South Carolina, North Carolina? We don't know. But we at least need to make the officials who are going to be making those decisions aware of some of the efforts that have been going on in places where they've been trying to contain or eradicate sudden oak death. And we talked a lot about protocols. We do have a nursery protocol, and we do have an urban protocol, but we don't have a forest wildland protocol. And one of the things that we talked about is it needs updating in order to bring it back online to the APHIS site. So that's one of the things that, after we get this framework in place, that's going to be updated and linked to, so that people know that what to do in a forested situation. We agreed upon this outline, and like I said, you can pick up any document anywhere, but prevention is key, detection, responding quickly, managing when we get it, restoration, outreach and education, and research for the four or the seven pillars that we're going to be, this document is going to be following along. And so I have the team. Our director was actually there, Rob Mangold, said this is a worthwhile thing, and after he got back, I think he really had a refresher course on what we talked about there at the meeting. But you can see a lot of these folks that are on there, and I thank them for their help. It's not me that's writing this national framework. We're all in it together, and I appreciate their help. But you can see we're enlisting the services of people from the Forest Service, APHIS, and from the state forestry side of things, so Michael Buck, and from National Plant Board, Carl Schultz. So a lot of these folks have been really helping us shape the document. The biggest problem is that we get it out to 20 pages, now you got to hack it back down so the staffer can go, oh, I can read the executive summary, and oh, I'm done with it. And they put it away. And it's not done there. Once we finish the document, it's going to go out to a review team, and this includes Carrie Britton, Everett, Dave, Yamals, and Gary Castagner. So, what are our next steps? You know? You're rolling along the road in this sudden oak death world, and you're kind of enjoying the drive, but then all of a sudden you look over and you see a wheel comes off. So what does that mean? We've got one more iteration for the team, then it's going to the review team. I have a special request of this group is that I would like to put some photos into this document, and it's got to go out for design and graphics. So if you have anything that you'd like to allow me, you will be credited. And then it goes to the print shop, and then it goes for distribution. For the purposes of helping people make better decisions when they're starting to think about Phytophthora mormon in a wildland or a forest for the first time. With that, I thank you.
And we have time for two or three questions before the break.
Good question. I'm anticipating the final review from our group by the end of this month. But it's still going to be a process to get it into print from there. So hopefully by fall we'll have some quantities.
Any other questions? Guess we'll take a break.
Thank you.